Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is October the 17th, 2017 on this Tuesday afternoon. We are a little bit late. Was out on the road and got caught in some traffic in Charlotte, and that is why I'm a little bit late, but the program will go on. We'll be going up to about 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern today. Got lots of news and information to share with you, things going down around the world that you should be aware of. At least I think you should be aware of them. So that's what's on tap for today. Let me give out those telephone numbers. If you have any news or views to share, you can give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Did I say 8025? 866-510-9025. Hit star on your keypad. That will signal me and I will bring you on air. You can also reach us at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio. All right, so let's go ahead and pull up a couple of news stories that I have been looking at last night that I wanted to share with you today. Lots of things going on. This first story that we're, here's a couple of stories we'll be taking a look at today. You got a Los Angeles police officer who has been busted for coercing a teen into confessing to a murder that teen did not commit. It's a old story in the USA. Lots of people get set up for crimes that they did not do. And those who arrest them and set them up apparently don't care about catching the real criminals and what have you. So you have a story coming out of Los Angeles of such a case with a teen being coerced into confessing to a crime he didn't commit. Tamir Rice's mother. There's always a lot of news coming out about Tamir Rice. I got like tags, keyword tags on certain stories, and there's always something coming out about Tamir Rice. Some of it isn't really nothing but a rehash of stuff that's going on. But apparently Tamir Rice is upset that a candidate for mayor by the name of Zach Reed has taken the endorsement of the police Nazi union up there. And Tamir Rice's mother's demanding that Zach Reed reject this police union endorsement. Colin Kaepernick, this is a story that came out yesterday, but I didn't have a chance to share it with you yesterday. Over the past couple of days, Colin Kaepernick filing a grievance against NFL owners for collusion. He has a high-powered attorney who has examined the case. From what I can tell from listening to mainstream media, sports talk radio, based mostly, they're saying that, oh, it's going to be pretty hard for Colin Kaepernick to get this grievance to prove that there was collusion among owners in the NFL not to give him a job. I did look up a couple of articles to get different perspectives on that. Some people say that he doesn't have to prove that the entire NFL or all the owners colluded, just a couple of them. Now, my take on this story which I'll get more into, is that he should be filing a grievance. Now, I don't know if the president of the United States, CEO of USA Inc., is immune to lawsuits while they are in office. I'm not sure if that's the case. But if I was Colin Kaepernick, I would be filing a lawsuit against Donald Trump, personally against Donald Trump, who continues to break the law as he interferes in the labor relations between the NFL and players. And he has specifically mentioned Colin Kaepernick by name, and has said things about owners firing people who don't stand for the national anthem. You know, Mike Pence just last, I think this was last Sunday, could have been a Sunday before, I'm not sure. But you had Mike Pence, the vice president, who left a Indianapolis Colts game early, claiming that it's cause they were taking a knee during the national anthem. And some people on Twitter have pretty much proven that that was all a stunt, and that Trump has even said on Twitter, because he can't keep his mouth shut, but he has even said on Twitter that he told Pence to leave. So, again, here we have members of the executive branch trying to interfere in private labor relations when it's against federal law for them to do so. All right, so also, got an article from the Lawfare blog, pretty interesting article. They're asking a question of whether or not we should be using the T word for right-wing violence, that is terrorism. I don't know what else to call it. That's what I call it. I call it terrorism. But, of course, words carry meanings in different societies, certain societies, and certain words carry a whole lot of weight behind them in terms of how you're trying to label someone or your perception of someone. But I've always called right-wing violence terrorism, especially if we're talking about white supremacist right-wing terrorists. All right, so want to take a look at that story. This story about the Hollywood producer, Harvey Weinstein, it continues to blow up. I remember when I first talked about it on air that I mentioned that there's probably some guys who have been molested in Hollywood. There's probably some guys that have been sexually harassed and what have you, given that you have pretty open group of LGBTers in Hollywood. Being gay is not a career killer in Hollywood, and I know a lot of these producers are gay, and now we have men actors coming out saying that they were molested. One of them was Terry Crews. Terry Crews is a former NFL player. He's a big muscle-bound black dude with a bald head. He's played in a couple of television comedy series. One of them is, what was that? Everybody Hates Chris. He's in that. He was also in that Wayan Brothers film, White Chicks. He was in there. And he said that he was grabbed, sexually assaulted, and he didn't say anything because he knew that he wouldn't be able to find a job in Hollywood if he complained about gay Hollywood executives groping him and what have you. So I'm not surprised that now you got males coming out saying that they have suffered sexual assault in Hollywood. Now, you do have this one female. I think she used to play as Punky Brewster. I'm not sure. Mayim Bialik. She plays on this show called The Big Bang Theory. But I think as she was one of those child actors and whatnot. But she's getting some backlash because she is saying that the way that she has avoided sexual harassment is by dressing modestly and, you know, just not being flirtatious and trying to use her sexuality to get ahead. And she's catching some backlash over that. Yesterday, we talked about a story, a toddler, 2-year-old child down in Atlanta being denied a kidney transplant because his father allegedly violated his probation, even though he's a perfect match for the two-year-old who was born without kidneys. The hospital said because you broke the rules of your probation that we can't do the operation now. We're going to have to wait the next year, and then we're going to reevaluate this. And it's pretty disgusting. And so I want to try to keep that story in the forefront, keep you updated on that story. So I'll check out and see what the latest update is on that story. One of the listeners of Black Talk Radio shared some information about the hospital if people want to call and what have you. By the way, let me just go ahead and pull that up right now and get that information out right away in case people want to call this hospital and give them a piece of your mind and what you think about them, how they're treating this child and punishing this child, threatening this child's life, basically, by denying this child a life-saving operation because of something the father allegedly did in violating probation. And I think reasonable people would agree that that's just not correct. That's not justice. That child shouldn't be punished. Again, this child doesn't have any kidneys whatsoever, born without kidneys. So I guess he's constantly having what they call it, dialysis, blood dialysis. So let me see if I can find that right quick. I have to scroll for it. Here it is. I want to thank Rona for posting this on my Facebook page under the story. The doctor you want to call is Emory University Hospital, which is located in Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Gartland, that's G-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Bryce Gartland, he serves as the vice president of operations for Emory University Hospital. He is responsible for the overall performance planning, patient access, and day-to-day staffing and operations. So if you want to call Dr. Gartland and express to him how unfair, how unjust, just how immoral it is to punish a two-year-old child and withhold a life-saving operation from this two-year-old child because the father allegedly violated parole. The father isn't in prison right now. You could have went ahead and done the operation and it'd be over and done with, hopefully successfully. And so let me give out this telephone number. Very disgusting story. I would even say that they are violating their Hippocratic oath to do no harm. That's doing harm, delaying that operation. The child could die within 3 months. So Emory University Hospital, this is in Atlanta, Georgia, 404-712-2000. That's telephone number again is 404-712-2000. You want to ask for Dr. Bryce Gartland. That's Dr. Bryce Gartland. Again, thank you, Rona, for sending that information to us. I'm sure you called. Thank you. Yeah. So this is, yes, I agree with Kim. And she said, what a sick world we live in where you're denying two-year-old children kidney transplants because some other grown person did something that they weren't supposed to do. So you're going to punish the child, right? That's pretty disgusting, pretty sick. Yes, very sick world that we live in. So, yeah, that's that story. Let me see. There's another story that I also want to share with you. NBC News, this caught my eye. Now, it's from a source that I don't normally subscribe to. It's like one of those, what's the name of this website? Let me see. It's the blackloop.com. It seems to be one of those entertainment type sites, but the story does appear to be real. I couldn't find anywhere on the site that it was a satirical website. It seems to be this story at least seems to be very serious, or written, you know, in a serious light and not joking around, but saying that NBC News or NBC has gotten bad news after releasing TV anchor Tamron Hall for Megyn Kelly. And Tamron Hall is a beautiful black woman. I didn't watch NBC or ABC or I don't know. I think she was on MSNBC as well. I don't watch the news like that. I'd rather get my news from the internet. And, you know, I might see some of those clips from those news programs. But she was very pleasing to look at. So I just want to keep it real about that. Tamara Hall got it going on. And I much rather look at her pretty face than looking at Megyn Kelly, especially given Megyn Kelly's history. And so NBC apparently has been losing the ratings game since Tamron walked away. And there's another angle I want to look at this story other than to report that Tamara Hall got ditched for Megyn Kelly and NBC's ratings are suffering as a result, because I've seen these stories over the years with these different black anchors getting replaced. I think MSNBC kind of cleared house except for Joy Reid. And I think they put Al Sharpton, not that I watched him. He was a terrible news presenter, but pushed him to early Sunday morning and what have you. But I always had the question of, okay, y'all have made a couple of million, you know, some of you have made a couple of million in your time with these outlets, but you get fired or you leave them in protest or however they're treating you on the job or not treating you on the job, and you walk away, and then it just seems like we don't hear from them again, and it's like they're sitting around waiting to get that next job for one of these major news corporations. When I say they should take advantage of the internet, take advantage of them millions of dollars that they did make, and build their own internet-based platforms, news platforms, work together. I mean, get Melissa Harris Perry, get Tamara Hall together, anybody else that's been fired, find some new people, some up-and-comers in journalism, black journalists, and what, and put together your own platform. And they just don't do it. They never seem to do that. And I don't understand why. So those are some of the stories that I'll be sharing with you today. Of course, we also play music on the program. I was able to download some tracks last night to get them uploaded to our station since we started paying for our music royalties and what have you. I just haven't been able to upload a lot of music, but I uploaded maybe 12 tracks last night, so y'all start hearing more tracks on the station. But yeah, I was able to do that. I'll do some more today. But we're going to take a station identification break right now, kick some music, and then come back with our first news story. We'll check the phone lines in case anybody has any news that they want to share with us as well. All right, so keep it locked right here on Black Talk Radio. This is Scotty Reed with Black Talk Radio News. We'll be right back.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. That's Run DMC, kicking some of that 80s hip-hop. For those that don't know, I'm one of those, I came of age in the 80s, so definitely love the 80s hip-hop and R&B, and we'll try to mix it up on the station. But this first story, again, this happens all too often. We've seen these stories, especially in Chicago with John Burge, who was a former Chicago police captain who ran pretty much a torture gang
And they went around torturing people, including children, primarily black children, into confessing the crimes they did not commit. And this was all admitted to, but they claim the statutes of limitations have run out and they can't do anything to him. He's retired now and he's even got his pension. He did some jail time, but that was for lying about what he did. Although they couldn't bring any criminal charges to him, but he lied in a civil case. But we've seen stories like this all over the country. We've been talking about the FBI's black identity extremism. It's very, very similar, if not the same, as COINTELPRO, which also set up black people, particularly activists. And so this is nothing new in history in terms of policing in this country. But we had a federal appeals court towards the end of September last month. And by the way, September, we did get the stats out last night to our donors and media partners. If you did not see it in your inbox, please check your spam folders and make sure that you add us to your contact list so that it won't keep going to spam. So we sent out our September statistical reports. But towards the end of September, getting back to this story, a federal appeals court overturned a teenager's murder conviction, saying Los Angeles police violated his rights by denying his request for a lawyer and pressuring him into a confession. So this is why it's important that Colin Kaepernick and people, even before Colin Kaepernick, were holding these Know Your Rights workshops. And apparently this person knew their rights. And because they objected and asked for a lawyer and didn't want to talk and they kept pressuring him, we'll see if it talks about any of the methods that they used to pressure him into a confession. And so now this has resulted in his conviction being overturned. So it's important to know your rights. It's important to know your rights. You never know when that can come back and help you by just exercising your rights. So this federal appeals court overturned a teenager's murder conviction. As I stated, Sam, the Los Angeles police violated his rights by denying his request for a lawyer. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on Friday that detectives in 2005 continued to question then 14-year-old Jesse Rodriguez about a gang-related shooting even after he requested an attorney. The shooting weeks earlier left one person dead and another wounded. A three-judge panel of the court said detectives threatened Rodriguez by telling him he was going to soon be charged with murder and suggesting that cooperating would result in leniency. The court said Rodriguez's subsequent confession was coerced. Prosecutors can retry Rodriguez. The Los Angeles County District Attorney Office referred comment to the State Attorney General's office, which did not immediately respond to an email. So that's the Associated Press reporting this. And so even in the case, if they have the right person, if they're used to operating outside of the law and just violating people's rights, even if they have the right person, which I don't know that they do in this case, but let's say they did. Well, because you ignored the request for an attorney and you kept talking to this person and threatening him with stacking charges on him that they didn't confess, you know, this kind of stuff then presents problems later. So for several reasons, you shouldn't be doing this, but they continue to do this sort of thing. They certainly do. And speaking of police, let's move to this story about Tamir Rice's mother. She's demanding that Zach Reed reject the police union endorsement that he received. For those that don't know, Samira Rice is the mother of Tamir Rice. She has been pretty active since her 12-year-old son, Tamir Rice, was gunned down by Timothy Lowman in a park, a child's park there in Cleveland, Ohio. It really sparked off a whole lot of protests. It also, I'm not sure if that was Cleveland. Cleveland or Chicago. Give me just a second as it's trying to load up this video and I don't want it to. But No, that was in Chicago where the activists were able to get the longtime district attorney thrown out, or state's attorney in Chicago. I can't think of her name right now, but she the one who sat on that case where that one cop had shot that young black man down in the street like a dog, and then just used his body for target practice. Well, they were able, and she sat on that case for a year and withheld the video from the public and what have you. Well, she finally got replaced and voted out, but that was in Chicago. But they tried something similar in Cleveland. I'm not sure if they were able to replace the district attorney who refused to charge Timothy Lohman and his partner for the killing of 12-year-old Tamir Rice. If y'all saw that video, just very, very heinous how they rolled up on him in the car, and Timothy Lohman jumps out the car like he's in some kind of action movie and shooting while he's jumping from the car. The car hadn't even stopped, and he already out the door shooting at a 12-year-old. So they did try to get that district attorney replaced. I'm not sure, but Samira Rice has been pretty active in the movement to stop police brutality, which is all a symptom of slavery. But she was joined by an attorney, Sudha Chandra, for a Monday morning news conference. This was yesterday, in which the two demanded that Cleveland mayoral candidate Zach Reed disavow, repudiate, and reject the endorsement of the extremist anti-police reform pro-Donald Trump organization. Chandra spoke for 20 minutes about Reed, saying he's extremely honored to be endorsed by the city's police union. Today, it is clear that an endorsement by the CPPA, Cleveland Police Patrolmen's Association, by its current leadership is an endorsement of lawlessness, of lack of police accountability, a corrupt approach to governing, and the white nationalism represented by Donald Trump, Chandra said. Chandra then ran through a timeline of events involving CPPA's president, Steve Loomis, including highlighting an interview where Loomis said Tamir Rice is in the wrong. Chandra argued those comments were false and a racist characterization of a black boy as being some sort of threatening monster. Next month marks 3 years since Tamir was killed by Cleveland police outside the Crudell Recreational Center, where Tamir was playing with a toy gun. The gun turned out to be an airsoft gun. For those who are familiar with the details, some person saw Tamir with this toy gun playing in the park, called the police. They even mentioned that it could be a toy, but they weren't sure, and that information never really got relayed. But again, the whole way that they approached that, they put themselves in danger if he had a real gun, was out there looking to kill somebody, but again, didn't investigate, just rolled up on the scene, and within 2 seconds, this boy was shot in the stomach and left to die. So it also says that in September of 2016, Loomis attended a roundtable with Donald Trump, Chandra continued. This was part of the CPPA cozying up to a white nationalist campaign that was engaged in overtly racist language. Then, in October 2016, the Cleveland Police Patrolmen's Association, over the objection of its African-American officers and the Black Shield organization, endorsed the manifestly racist Donald Trump. This is the same Donald Trump who, as recently as July of this year, in a public speech, demanded that police officers use even more force and be rough on the suspects that they are arresting. Rice also noted the police union treatment of her amid Tamir's death. So she goes on to say, to put it simple, the union's current leadership acts like white supremacists, Rice said. They do not believe that Black Lives Matter. They have said so. Rice also noted a tweet posted by Reed last weekend suggesting that Rice is using her son's death for political purposes. And Zach Reed is a black man who apparently is acting like a proxy racist in this case. He took to Twitter to criticize her activism, saying it's truly a sad day in politics when a senseless killing of a 12-year-old child is used as political ammunition. I mean, come on, man. Come on. Okay. Police unions and all, do they not engage in politics? Did you criticize the police union president for saying the things he said about Tamir Rice and what have you? I truly doubt it. So, yeah, I salute Tamir Rice's mother, Samira Rice, for coming out and letting the people know what type of person they're considering voting for as mayor, as the next mayor of Cleveland. He's all cozy with the slave catchers and what have you. Even though they have displayed their white nationalist tendencies, Cleveland, I tell you, man, Cleveland has had some horrific murders by police up there. I'm thinking about the man and the woman that was killed after their car was stopped and police shot hundreds of times, firing hundreds of rounds into the bodies of these two unarmed black people, a man and a woman. I can't recall their names right now, but I remember the slave catcher jumping on the hood of the car. And he was the only one that got charged, and he asked for a bench trial, and he ended up getting let go by the judge in the case, because that's something I'm noticing with these slave catchers. They not asking for jury trials anymore in the states that they have a choice. They go for the bench trial where it's just a judge and no jury and what have you. So it's all political. So for him to say she's been out there a long time using her platform as a family member of a victim of police brutality and violence, and she's doing this not because she's trying to get anything for herself. I think she's already got her settlement. She could just be off somewhere drinking tequila sunrises on one of those cruises that they promote all the time on black radio. I forget which host it is. He always got a cruise going on, and you got these old school musicians. She could be doing that. She could be laying back and chilling the rest of her life, but she's not. She's not. She's being active in her community and standing up to white supremacists and racism, the institutional white supremacy and racism. And again, you have what's known, what I call proxy racists, who try to act like they down with the black community and oppressed communities, but behind the scenes, they making deals with the people who are most responsible for attacking our communities and making us feel not safe. Okay, so for him to say, oh, she's using her son's death as political ammunition, whatever, man. She didn't mention her son's name. She just mentioned what the police union's response was after the killing of her son. So if like they say, if you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen. Get out the kitchen, Zach Reed, no relation to me. Yeah, get out the kitchen. So I salute Miss Samira Rice, because she could just be sitting back, you know, and chilling. Think she got like $1 million settlement. I'm not sure. It's not important how many millions she got, but she got a settlement. She doesn't have to be doing this. She doesn't have to be out there putting her life on the line, which she is doing. So shame on him for trying to call her out. Let me see. Before I take our next station identification break and kick some more music, let me share some of the news that's being posted in our chat room, which is at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. You'll also find international phone numbers if you want to call in, but our main toll-free number is 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025. Hit ** on your keypad. Unmute yourself. One of the stories that we had been looking at, I think I reported on this last week, was about Donald Trump's tweet threatening NBC, talking about taking their licenses and all of that kind of stuff. which he can't do. What he's trying to do again is influence other people not to renew the individual station's license when they come up from the FCC. So NBC owns like, how many different stations does NBC own? I think they own something like 30 stations across the nation. I'm trying to open up this. Okay, it's finally opening. Okay. Oh, this is another story. $6 million is what Tamir Rice's mother, Samir, settled the lawsuit for. And yes, as stated in the chat room, many of these families take it as hush money. I forget the young man, the 17-year-old who was shot down in the street by that cop in Chicago, and it was caught on video, and Rahm Emanuel and all of them tried to cover it up, paid the mother who this child came up in foster care. And this mother wasn't in his life. She was his biological mother. She gave birth to him, but she did not raise him. He was raised as a ward of the state. So they went and found her, gave her $5 million and told her to just keep it quiet. So yes, many of these families, I don't know if I want to say many, but we've seen a few of these families take money and we never hear from them again. And yes, it can be characterized as hush money. That is why Chicago gave that one mother that money, was to keep her quiet. That was in her settlement, to be quiet. Don't mention this to nobody. Just, you know, go on a cruise. Drink tequila sunrises all day, you know. So, yeah, $6 million is what Samir Rice received as compensation for the murder of her son. But she's doing anything but being quiet. So she's setting a good example, and she's not hanging out with Hillary Clinton, who called little black boys super predators and whatnot, like some of these mothers. I ain't going to say no names. Y'all know Hillary had a crew of mothers out there, mothers of the murdered or whatever she was calling them, to exploit them for votes. And black women did vote for that super predator, Hillary Clinton. The ones that did vote by 80% or more. So it's just really disgusting. Really disgusting. Let me see. We had another story. The FCC chairman, that's what I wanted to pull up. I was trying to pull that story up, but it wasn't coming up that Otis was sharing with us. FCC chair finally weighs in on Trump's tweet threatening NBC. The FCC, his chairperson, Ajit Pat, the FCC chairman, there's actually a campaign to get him tossed out that position. I remember circulating a petition and signing a petition because this guy does not believe in net neutrality. He wants to get by regulating independent webs. We're going to hold your traffic. We're going to hold it as ransom and ask for a ransom, but we'll call it a fee. And yeah, if you can pay the fee, afford to pay the fee, then you can be on the fast internet. So, you know, Ajit Pai is not a person who is, I would say, friendly to the masses of people using the internet to communicate information outside of the mainstream corporate control. So he came under criticism. Ajit Pai came under criticism for not weighing in on President Trump's tweets threatening NBC and other networks. Again, Trump is a big blabbermouth. He has impulse controls. He's a psychopath. I mean, this man is you could probably put him in an observation in a mental hospital and just study him for decades, all the problems that he seems to have. So we got Donald Trump tweeting with all of the fake news coming out of NBC and the networks. At what point is it appropriate to challenge their license? Bad for the country, says Donald Trump. Network news has become so partisan, distorted, and fake that licenses must be challenged and, if appropriate, revoked. Not fair to the public. Okay, he's only talking about those who are not fair to him. He ain't talking about Fox News, highly partisan. No, he's an impetuous child and he's a dictator and he doesn't know the Constitution. He doesn't know a lot of these federal laws, nor does he care to know. He just runs off at the mouth and says what he wants to do to people. So Pai finally weighed in, according to this article from Mediaite, And it says that, he says that, I believe in the First Amendment. The FCC, under my leadership, would stand for the First Amendment. And under the law, the FCC does not have the authority to revoke the license of a broadcast station based on a particular newscast. So, again, NBC owns like 30 stations around the nation, probably all in major cities. And you will have to challenge each and every one of those licenses. Although NBC owns the individual stations, how can I put this in corporate terms? You know, a corporation can have another corporation and own companies and things of that. So that's how these big media companies are set up. They may be under a different company name in that city in which they obtain that license, but that company is owned by the major corporation like NBC. So that means if Donald Trump wanted to do what he would like to do in taking their license, it would have to be challenged on the local level with each individual station whenever their license comes up for renewal. But again, this is a perfect illustration of why I say that internet is the way to go for mass communication. Internet. We got people who produce YouTube videos. They have excellent equipment. You think you're watching television or something. We got people producing web series for entertainment. We got people producing their own news shows and what have you. You can use YouTube. You can use Vimeo. You can use a whole, you can build your own platform and run it. So the internet isn't regulated by the federal government. You don't have to have a license to start an internet television station. You don't have to get a license from the FCC to run an internet radio station. So, you know, that is one of the advantages of internet-based media. And more people need to turn to that instead of as a way to combat how these corporations have taken over the communications infrastructure, so to speak. So that's why it's very important that we build these alternative platforms using new media technology. But it's also more important that we defend the internet from those corporations who want total control over the internet. We have to fight that. We have to keep net neutrality in place where all internet traffic is treated equally by the ISP service providers. And there should be no fast lanes and no slow lanes. They shouldn't be able to extort the Black Talk Media Project and say, hey, if you want to keep getting all that traffic you're getting, some of your listeners are accessing the platform through our ISP. If you want to keep them coming to your website, you're going to have to pay this fee. That's coercion. That's sort of like kidnapping our listening audience for ransom. And we don't want to see that happen. So it's very important, people, that we engage in the politics of the day in keeping the internet open and free. All right. So thanks for sharing that story. Let's go ahead and take another station identification break, another music break, and then we'll come back. We'll get into some more of these stories. You're listening to Black Talk Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network. I'll be right back.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Broadcasting on this Tuesday afternoon is October the 17th, 2017. We do have live programming coming up for you this evening, beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Will be Tando Radio Show. But there's always something on the network. A couple of the other independent stations also have programming coming on tonight. So go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's your number one source for independent independently produced black media. That's blacktalkradionetwork.com. Check out all our media partners as they're always sharing interesting information on their programs and podcasts. So Colin Kaepernick over the weekend filed a grievance for collusion against the NFL owners, according to this report from the NY Daily News. This report was filed by Evan Grossman. Again, this is at NY Daily News. And he starts off by saying that Colin Kaepernick is prepared to fight. So in case you've been under a rock, or maybe you don't watch the news and you don't watch the NFL, and so you're unaware of what's been going on for over a year now since Colin Kaepernick last year, when he was a San Francisco 49er, decided that he was going to take a knee in pointing out that you're making us salute a flag, you're making us respect the flag, and that flag don't respect everybody. It's not standing for freedom and liberty and justice for all, that you got murderers with badges, slave catchers, if you will, who are gunning down little 12-year-old boys and never being held accountable. So he was taking a knee for that. Now, there's some confusion out there. They're saying that I've heard people say Colin Kaepernick could have had a job with the 49ers. He chose to enter the free agency market, and they didn't choose him to pick him up or give him a tryout or anything. So he quit his job. Well, not really. From what I've been reading from people who were inside that locker room and have shared what they knew, and they said it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that they were not going to pick up Colin Kaepernick's rest of his contract, and that he was going to be out of San Francisco. But even looking at it from an athlete's perspective, look, 49ers are pretty sorry right now. It's been a long time since Colin Kaepernick took them to the Super Bowl. And so these players, they are no different than the people in the NBA, where they go to teams that they think got a chance to win a championship. And I believe that's what Colin Kaepernick was doing. He could have also been reading the tea leaves and knew that they were not going to give him a job. And so that leads us to today, where Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job, and you got NFL quarterbacks dropping like flies. I understand that one of their premier stars got his collarbone broke yesterday for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. And so we'll see if they give Colin Kaepernick a call. So, but anyway, he has filed a collusion complaint against NFL owners. And this is according to several different reports. I started hearing about it yesterday on Sports Talk Radio. He filed the complaint outside of the NFL's Player Association, because the NFL does have a union, and the union has stated that it will always back their players' rights to First Amendment. And so when people try to compare the NFL players to other workplaces and environments, employment situations, it's very, very different than, let's say, a McDonald's worker. It's very different than a Walmart worker. See, they have a union. They have a very powerful union that they pay dues to, and they negotiate their contracts, how much money, you know, people are going to get, and things of that nature. So they have a lot of power. They really do. It's not like these athletes are powerless, but Colin Kaepernick decided to go outside of the NFL Players Association to file his complaint. And according to Mike Freeman, who reports for the Bleacher Report, he tweeted on Sunday that Kaepernick was readying a statement and has enlisted the services of criminal defense attorney Mark Garagos to represent him. Now, Garagos is a pretty famous attorney. He's represented celebrities and high-profile clients like Michael Jackson, former Congressman Gary Condit, I think is his name, former first brother Roger Clinton, Winona Ryder, Nicole Richie, and Chris Brown. So it goes on to say, Grossman writes that in proving that NFL owners are colluding against him and staging a group boycott against giving Kaepernick a job, the father of the national anthem protest has his work cut out for him. He will have to prove that more than one team owner or executive actually had a discussion and plotted to keep him out of football. The NFL has very clear and strict rules outlawing teams from colluding against players. Article 17 of the CBA prohibits teams from working together against players and states any victims of collusion are entitled to double the damages. Collusion also doesn't require all 32 teams working together. As few as two individuals can collude, and that's also a definition of a conspiracy. It has to be more than one person. As few as two individuals can collude against a player to trigger a legitimate antitrust infraction, according to legal experts. If Kaepernick can prove so much as an email exchange or a text message or a phone call took place between just two people agreeing not to sign him, the CBA stipulates he could claim economic damages, likely the average contract quarterbacks were getting from teams this offseason, as well as additional compensation equal to double whatever those lost wages calculate to. So just stop for a minute. The writer says, and just imagine the gravity and spectacle of such a case. The NFL on trial for conspiring against a player because of his racial, social, and political beliefs. Let me say that again. Not because of his race, not because of his social standing in this society, but for his beliefs, for holding beliefs that racism still exists in this society and that nobody's being held accountable for the extrajudicial murders by police of American citizens. So players themselves have been calling it collusion for months. You have this safety for the Eagles, Malcolm Jenkins. He told the Daily News in August, I would love to see him push back because I do think he's been blackballed. And there's plenty of quotes from owners or whoever saying they're afraid of the backlash they would get. With all the attention and people that are following him and ready to support Kaepernick, I think he should file a complaint. So again, you know, it doesn't have to be an email. It doesn't have to be a recorded phone call. You can go off of their public statements that have been reported in the media. And as this other story I'm relating to his collusion is that he needs to also, if he's going outside of the NFL Players Association, and if he's going to, let's say, federal court with this collusion antitrust suit, that would be in the civil courts. He should also name Donald Trump because Donald Trump has been, since the campaign trail, has been very vocal in saying that Colin Kaepernick should not get a job. And he continues to do pulley stunts like the stunt that him and Vice President Mike Pence perpetrated. When was that? Last Sunday or the Sunday before? Walking out of an Indianapolis Colts game after several San Francisco 49ers kneeled during the national anthem. He said, and Donald Trump tweeted this out. I asked at VP Pence to leave the stadium if any players kneel, disrespecting our country. I'm proud of him and at Second Lady Karen. So this again is against federal law. Any member of the executive branch, which Donald Trump is the chief executive officer, and Mike Pence is the number two in the executive branch, they any statements that they say or make in relation to whether players should get fired for taking a knee or raising a fist or any, that's against federal law. So again, you don't have to commit high crimes to be impeached. You can also commit misdemeanors. And he's in violation of a federal law that prohibits the executive branch from interfering in the employment relations between employees of a private company and management. And yet, no, everybody just seems to act like that this law don't exist and he's perfectly above the law and can break it at will. So, again, that's what that flag is representing. don't represent this nation. It don't represent its people. It's a corporate brand. It's a corporate brand that represents the corporation known as USA Inc., where when the federal government incorporated back in 1871 or 1861, I'm not sure. I know it's one of those dates. So that's what that would be my advice to Colin Kaepernick, is to sue Donald Trump. Now, again, I don't know if these presidents have immunity from civil lawsuits, but I would think that, no, when you're breaking the law, that, no, you don't have no kind of immunity, no diplomatic immunity. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But he is clearly in violation of that law. Looks like we have a caller on the board. Looks like Otis would like to chime in on some of the stories that we've shared. Thank you for calling in. Otis, what's on your mind today? We can't hear you, Otis. Okay, you putting yourself back on mute anytime you want to chime in. Okay, go ahead, Otis. We got you on the board. Do you got your microphone muted on your headset or whatever? Because we're just simply not hearing you, bro. Okay, anytime you want to jump in, go ahead and jump in. I'll leave your mic open, but we're not able to hear you. So, yeah, I feel like Colin Kaepernick needs to file a lawsuit, whether it's separate and apart from this collusion lawsuit he's filing against NFL owners. If he has to wait until Donald Trump leaves office, he definitely should file that lawsuit, because it's public knowledge now. I mean, he's tweeted about it. We got video of him at these different events talking about it. So, yeah. Yeah, Colin Kaepernick definitely is making the right moves, whether he wins or not, whether he wins or not. All right, so next story that I want to share with you before we take our next station identification break and kick some more music is about the use of the T word, terrorism, to describe right-wing violence. We have an article that was posted on Lawfare, which is a law blog. It's at lawfareblog.com. It was written by Daniel Biden. It was written yesterday, published yesterday. And it's basically drawn on a longer piece that I'm going to share with you on the same subject that the author wrote for Foreign Affairs. This is a second essay, and it looks at the implications of using the T word. And so it says, just over 2 months ago on August the 12th, 2017, James Alex Fields Jr. drove his car into a crowd of peaceful demonstrators in Charlottesville, killing Heather Heyer, one of the demonstrators. Fields' act was treated as the crime it was. He was charged with second-degree murder and hit and run connected to Heyer's death, along with several crimes related to the injuries of other victims. Yet, given the political nature of the violence and given the power of terrorism as a label, many have called for treating Heyer's death as terrorism. I would be one of those. Fields championed white supremacist, neo-Nazi ideals, virulent ideals just as hateful as jihadism. Moreover, Fields' vehicle attack resembles nothing less than those in Barcelona, Berlin, London, Nice, and other cities in the past 2 years. President Trump has notoriously avoided harsh condemnations of right-wing violence despite being quick to criticize anything similar on the Islamic end. But others in his administration do not share his hesitation. Now, this part right here was kind of surprising to me. He's still a piece of scum. He's still a ghost skin. But to me, you know, I have to report it. But Attorney General Jeff Sessions labeled Fields' attack domestic terrorism, which federal law defines as trying to intimidate a civilian population or affect government policy through violence in an area of U.S. territorial jurisdiction. On Lawfare, Mary McCord, the former acting assistant attorney general for national security, made a powerful case that our federal criminal laws recognize domestic terrorism for what it is, the moral equivalent of international terrorism. So, again, over the past year or so, I've been talking about the Klan Act of 1871, also known as the Civil Rights Act of 1871. if it's not 1871, it's 1861. I get confused with the dates between that and when the United States became a corporation, or its government became a corporation. But the Klan Act of 1871, Ulysses S. Grant, a former Army general who became president, was elected president, asked for and received the Civil Rights Act of 1871, also known as the Klan Act of 1871, to prosecute white supremacist terrorists and treat them as terrorists. It stripped them of their rights, certain rights and privileges that are afforded to U.S. citizens, because let's remember, many of these terrorists during that period were still were former Confederate soldiers, and they started engaging in terrorism against black people, even black elected officials and what have you. And so I say bring back the Klan Act. I haven't seen that it's been repealed, but it is kind of surprising to hear Jeff Sessions label that attack a domestic terrorism. But has the federal government, has he directed the Department of Justice to bring a terrorism case? I haven't seen that. So words are important, but also words with no action behind them are meaningless. So if he's going to call it domestic terrorism, then prosecute it like domestic terrorism. So this person goes on to write that Fields attack is not the first time that right-wing violence has raised questions about the terrorism label. After the 2015 attacks on a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs and a black church in Charleston, demands to treat right-wing violence as terrorism grew loud. A December 2015 YouGov poll found that 52% of Americans thought the Planned Parenthood attack was terrorism, and civil rights activists widely criticized the fact that few media outlets were calling Dylann Roof, the perpetrator of the Charleston massacre, a terrorist. Some voices have also called for declaring as terrorism the Las Vegas mass shooting, which so far seems to have no link to either a foreign or domestic radical group. These observers argue that even though the shooter, Stephen Paddock, lacked a political motive and thus falls short of the technical definition of terrorist, by definition, he terrorized the innocent crowd in Vegas. However, the FBI has maintained a position in its original statement that we have determined to this point no connection with an international terrorist group. So I know that the state of Nevada, as someone pointed out to me, does have a law in the book. This is a state law. It's not federal law, but a state law that says mass shootings are terrorism. But again, the federal definition is working off of a religious political ideology and using violence to advance those goals. So I would not call Stephen Paddock's case a case of terrorism. Were people terrified? Sure, but terrorism has a political definition. And I think we should stick to that definition of the federal government. And so this is a very long article. I'll share these on our social media accounts and in BTR community. Again, I was kind of late out on the road and not able to get those posted, but I'll get those posted and link to them in the blog as well. So, but I agree. We do have to use that T-word, call it terrorism. Just like I say, you know, it's similar to when I be talking about slavery. Stop calling it mass incarceration. Stop calling it over-policing. Stop calling it all of these made up labels and terms and that are nothing but politically correct terms and labels to call something other than what it really is. And what we really see here is slavery. It's slavery, man. So no, it's not mass incarceration. The majority of the American people are not in prison. Okay? Now, a whole lot of them have been to prison and may not be in there now, but we still have the world's largest prison population, but it's not the majority of the people. It's something else. It's slavery is what it is. It's not policing for profit. It's slave catching. And we have to use these words because they have political context. They have social context. They have meaning. So I'm with them on that. Call it terrorism when these white supremacists attack and use violence, because it fits the description of the federal government's definition of terrorism. Call it slavery because it fits what the Constitution says defines as slavery in this modern era. It's punishment for crime. It don't say mass incarceration shall be abolished except for punishment for crime. It say slavery. So let's use these words properly. Otis, let's give you a try now. See if we can get some audio off your line. What's on your mind today? Okay, still nothing. I'm not hearing anything from you, Otis. So sorry about that. Not sure what's going on. Check your audio cards. Check your, if you're using a headset, make sure you didn't mute the, manually mute the physical microphone. That could be causing it. Otherwise, I don't know what's going on with you, bro. Let's use these words properly because they have meaning. They have context. Politically, they mean something. And we shouldn't water down what's happening by mislabeling stuff. All right, so I'm going to take a station identification break. Let me check the board. Okay, still nothing. Sorry you're having those problems today, Otis. But we're going to take a station identification break, keep some more music, and then come back and share some more information and news with you. Again, if you have anything you would like to report, give us a call at 866-510-9025. If you have any thoughts, any beliefs that you would like to share, by all means, give us a call and share that with us. Again, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News on the Black Talk Radio Network, broadcasting Monday through Friday from 12 noon Eastern up until 2 o'clock p.m. if nothing happens. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Bringing you news, views, and music throughout the afternoon. And I think we have Otis back on the line. I was able to hear you during the break, Otis. If you want to share your commentary with us now, how are you this afternoon?
All right, Scotty. I was just trying to chime in and tell you on that Kaepernick thing. I was reading quite a few articles last night because I kept seeing a lot of people chime in and talk about why he waited so late. Number one is most of these people don't understand just because he just publicly announced that he has a lawyer doesn't mean he hadn't been working with a lawyer for over a year.
Right.
And part of that I got out of it is somebody on a sports channel, two of them hit on it, and they kind of stuck it in their commentary. That he doesn't just have to, that the lawyer asked for that the NFL, all 32 teams, have to preserve the email,
right,
correspondence, and what they call it, fax machines and all that, because most people don't realize these people exchange a lot of information that requires signatures, and you don't do that now with all digital. You got to use fax machines a lot in that business. That's one of the reasons it's still around. But the most interesting thing said was they said, kept saying, and nobody realizes out of 32 teams how much personnel has been fired or let go in the NFL and may actually have that information. So he may not be just looking for new information. He might be looking for collaboration of what's already been given to him.
Right. So what you're talking about is the discovery process,
right,
in the civil lawsuit.
And they said, the way that this CBA is structured, they said, when you were talking about how unusual it is, any single guilt, if any player in a collusion clause, it doesn't take a whole group of players.
You mean the owner?
Any one player, if he proves that the NFL colluded, that whole collective bargaining agreement goes out the door.
Right. I read that as well.
Yeah. And the only other thing I was going to say is you're talking about terrorists locally. I was trying to find an article, but I can't. you know, several times Holder and Lynch had the opportunity to go before the Supreme Court and force the issue on this domestic terrorist designation. And with
did.
Two black AGs, they still refused to do it.
Right. I was thinking about that, Otis, because it was during the George Bush administration that in 2006, when the FBI produced that report that gave me the term ghost skins to describe white nationalists who infiltrated law enforcement. Again, words are important, and I don't think it's a correct use of words to say infiltrated when they've always been there. But they did cite that as a national security issue. And for all the criticism that what's his name, James Comey, has been getting in relation to not prosecuting, or really that falls on Loretta Lynch, because the FBI, all they can do is do an investigation, make a recommendation. So former FBI director James Comey caught a lot of heat, and that was really allowing Loretta Lynch to dodge the ball on whether or not Hillary Clinton will be charged with violating federal laws pertaining to maintaining classified information. But I found that James Comey has made some statements acknowledging the racism and all the criminality in law enforcement. And it, one article I read said he kept the wiretap tap order from J. Edgar Hoover to wiretap Martin Luther King Jr. on his desk, I guess framed or something in the desk, to remind him of the abuse, past abuses of the FBI, so that he don't do them. So I thought, you know, that was worth something. You had an FBI director stating this. And so, you know, all of a sudden with a new administration that has been forgotten about. But to your point, Otis, you had Holder and you had Loretta Lynch, and they did nothing. They did virtually nothing to address white supremacy terrorism and these terrorists who have, according to the FBI, infiltrated law enforcement at every level. All right. So, yeah, good information. We got another call. I think we got Derek joining us from Chicagoland. Good afternoon to you, Derek. What did you want to share with us this afternoon?
Oh, hey, Scotty.
Greetings.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was just listening in. I just opened the app. I just started using the Uber app.
Okay.
And I posted a story in the chat room, but I didn't. I wasn't trying.
Okay, I got you. I'll go ahead, and I saw that story, and I'll share that as Stephen Paddock's name was brought up in that last story pertaining to terrorism. I'll just put you on mute anytime you want to chime in. Just hit star. But Derek posted a story in our chat room again, uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Said the media is silent as government uses Vegas shooting to push bill allowing warrantless searches. More than 40 organizations, including the ACLU and the Freedom of the Press Foundation, have joined together to condemn the USA Liberty Act, a trendy name for a dangerous bill that reauthorizes and creates additional loopholes for Section 702 of the FISA Act, that is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. I haven't read up on this to get any other details, but I would say that doesn't warrantless wiretapping, that's already going on, right? Isn't it authorized by the Patriot Act? They love to come up with these patriotic sounding names that have anything but to do with, and as in this particular, the U.S. Liberty Act. You call it the USA Liberty Act while stripping liberties from people. You know, just par for course, more the hypocrisy we have to deal with in, as it relates to these board members of the corporation, USA Inc. So I'll take a look at that. We'll share, get into that. I'll bookmark that as a story to get into tomorrow. So they're trying to use the tragic shooting in Las Vegas to strip Americans of more liberty, just like they use the 9/11 attacks. And many people, and some evidence does suggest that it didn't go down like how they said it went down, Okay, they redacted too much information in their so-called 9/11 report and what have you, but they used that to give us the Patriot Act. And they have been killing American citizens. Usually they're Muslims and non-white, but they've been killing American citizens without charging them with crimes, without any kind of death warrant, you know, from the court, because they were convicted of a crime and sentenced to death. No, just if they go outside the country, just send a drone and blow them up, blow them to bits and pieces. And if any innocent people standing around them get killed, then so be it. So we've been dealing with lawlessness in this country for a very, 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 very long time. But of course, it's always intelligent to be aware of any kind of moves that they're trying to make. All right, so let me pull up another story. This is related to this whole Harvey Weinstein thing. And as I stated on social media, as I posted a graphic of a cover, I think it was either from People Magazine or Entertainment Weekly or something, but it had Jessica Parker, whatever her last name is. I don't know. She starred in Sex in the City. And my commentary in sharing that graphic was, nobody should be surprised that you got a bunch of rapists and serial sexual assaulters in Hollywood, when Hollywood has been engaged in the over-sexualization, the hyper-sexualization of the public for quite some time, for decades now. I would say going back to the 70s and whatnot, they've been producing these hypersexual films and what have you. And so, I mean, it should be no surprise that you got deviants who work in Hollywood. Am I saying that's justification for any individual to commit a crime against another individual? No, I'm not saying that makes it right. I'm saying it shouldn't be surprising to anyone. It just shouldn't be surprising when you look at some of the sexual images that we got coming out, and then to have women complaining about them being looked at as sexual objects. But yet, you know, you need to go talk to these women that allow themselves to be exploited sexually on film, in music, all for some butter biscuits, and not looking at the impact or the influence that this type of media could have on society. That's why we've been working with Clear the Airways Project for so long on this killer radio issue, where you have radio stations, terrestrial radio stations, targeting the black community with messages that suggest murder, suggests misogyny, suggests rape, suggests all kind of crimes and whatnot. But oh, they're calling it art. And the same thing with these Hollywood movies. And don't get me wrong, I'm not some old man. I'm not a prude. I appreciate the female form as much as the next heterosexual man. But at the same time, I have to recognize the influence that media has on the minds of the masses, and that sometimes they just go too far, man. They go too far. There's even been, like, the Parents Television Council has produced reports that I've shared over the years about the sexualization of children in television shows like Dawson Creek and others. That's one of the shows they mentioned, where you have these minors. They're usually adults playing teenagers and stuff, and they're engaged in all kind of sexual activity and what have you. And that influences the minds of the children who watch it. And then you wonder why sexual transmitted diseases are at an all-time high in the United States. Okay? It's different variables that make up the problem. And the over-sexualization of media is one of those. But you got this actor by the name of Mayim Bialik. I'm not sure that's how you pronounce her name. I know she used to play the character Punky Brewster. I think that was back in the 80s. So she's a child actor. She now plays on The Big Bang Theory. And she addressed the Harvey Weinstein controversy. Controversy has ensued after she wrote a publication and she wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times in which critics allege she blames victims for their experiences with sexual assault. She goes on to say, "I'm being told by NY Times piece resonated with so many, and I am beyond grateful for all of the feedback," the Big Bang Theory actress wrote Sunday on Twitter. "I also see a bunch of people have taken my words out of the context of the Hollywood machine and twisted them to imply that, God forbid, I would blame a woman for her assault based on her clothing or behavior." Bilek penned a lengthy piece for the Times in the wake of the ongoing Harvey Weinstein scandal or sexual harassment scandal, describing how she avoided the disturbing encounters her fellow peers endured. The former child star touched upon her dress code and mannerisms. "I still make choices every day as a 41-year-old actress that I think of as self-protecting and wise," she wrote. "I have decided that my sexual self is best reserved for private situations with those I am most intimate with. I dress modestly. I don't act flirtatious with men as a policy." So it goes on to say that some of these other actresses who accuse some of these people, like Oliver Stone, has been recently accused of sexual harassment by Patricia Arquette. And they're taking offense and saying that, for example, she says, "I have to say I was dressed non-provocatively at 12 years old, walking home from school when men masturbated at me. It's not the clothes." And so, again, that's kind of like minimizing what she's saying. Again, there is no excuse for sexual assault, rape, or violating another human being whatsoever. But we are fools if we don't look at all the variables and look at certain behaviors, certain lifestyles, and say that they're risky. There's risk involved in walking down a dark street by yourself, dressed like, you know, you selling your body or something. There's don't get offended if men stop you on the street and ask you how much. Okay, don't get offended. Because if you're going to dress like a streetwalker, people are going to assume you a streetwalker. No offense to streetwalkers out there. I know many of you aren't out there because you choose to be. You're out there because of this type of society we live in where there's enough for everyone, but you got a few people who's hogging up all the resources, and the rest of us, they don't care. If we see, you know, we eat three meals or have a roof over our head or clothes on our back or transportation or any of that. So don't take me as blaming sex workers out there. I'm just saying some stuff is common sense. Some stuff is common sense. So all she's saying is, hey, when I went in to read for these jobs to try to get this role or whatever, I didn't go in there flirting on the casting couch. They call it the casting couch for a reason. I didn't go in there batting my eyes and showing all this cleavage and flirting with the director, hoping that he'll choose me or making it even seem like I'm open to that sort of thing. I dressed very modestly. I did not flirt with these people so that they would not get the mistaken impression that I'm interested in them sexually or anything. So, I mean, there's wisdom in what she's saying. I don't see this as victim blaming. But again, we sometimes use these words and terms inappropriately. So if I talk about sexually transmitted diseases being at an all-time high and that the number of the cases that there seem to be a lot of that's putting us at the all-time high mark in sexually transmitted diseases has to do with bisexual and gay males spreading it. And they catching HIV, they catching other sexually transmitted diseases, and they spreading it. Now, am I victim blaming by saying, hey, if you didn't want to catch HIV, maybe you should have used the rubber. Maybe you should have used protection. Maybe you shouldn't be having random sex with individuals you meet up in the club that you have no knowledge of their sexual history. You don't know anything about them. You don't even know if they're giving you their real name and you having sex with them in the bathroom or in the back of the car or wherever without protection. Is that me victim blaming? No, that's not me victim blaming. That's me stating the fact. And the facts say that if you put yourself in certain situations and you don't take certain precautions, then A, B, and C could happen. That's not saying that you deserve for it to happen to you, but you didn't take certain precautions. And this is why. This is what we talk about, you know, especially over the weekend when I tell people to be safe out there and not to be riding down the road with a blunt hanging out their mouth or with their seatbelt not on, giving slave catchers probable cause to pull you. Oh, that's not me victim blaming. That's me stating a fact. And I see her as making a statement of fact. She just sharing what works for her. She didn't say nothing about no 12-year-olds. We ain't talking about children, Patricia Arquette. And we know that we got sickos out here who do that sort of thing, you know, masturbating in public places, doing upskirt video shooting, voyeurism. No, that's not what this woman's talking about. All right, she's talking about these producers in Hollywood. And as I stated, you know, last week when I talked about this, I said, I know it's some men who have been sexually assaulted in Hollywood and probably afraid to come forward because either they don't want people to know that they gay or they gave in to a gay man's overtures and sexual desires and whatnot. And so they not saying anything, but we've had a couple of males come out now and say that they were sexually assaulted by other men in Hollywood. I haven't heard anything about any women in Hollywood in powerful positions using that position to get sex from actors and actresses and what have you. But you do have a couple of men who are coming forward. One of them is Terry Crews, who was an NFL, former NFL football player, very large man, very muscle-bound man. He mostly plays in comedic roles, as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast. He's in White Chicks with the Wayans brothers. He's on that television series. I don't know if it's still going. I don't know if it's just in syndication right now, but Everybody Hates Chris. He plays Chris' dad. That's Terry Crews. But I guess some Hollywood producer or bigwig wasn't afraid that this man was going to break his neck and grab Terry Crews by his sack, sexually assaulted him. And Terry Crews said he didn't say anything because he said that he didn't want to make any waves and he wouldn't be able to get a job in Hollywood. Speaking of collusion, I wonder if there's any collusion. Or is anybody suing Hollywood producers for colluding to blackball some of these actors and actresses who did not give in? As we were just talking about Colin Kaepernick trying to prove collusion, some of these actors or actresses probably should follow suit if they can prove it. They can prove it. But, males are victims of sexual harassment. Males are victims of rape. It's just not really reported on that much in the mainstream media. And a lot of times male victims are so full of shame at what happens to them that they don't report. Same reasons a lot of women don't report. So I am not surprised that you now have males coming forward who have been sexually harassed by these people in Hollywood. Again, not surprising to me given all that they do. All the over-sexualized and hyper-sexualized media that is being produced by that entity in Hollywood coming out that culture. All right, let me see. I think that may be the last story that I had to share. I may have one more as we get ready to wrap up today's program. Yeah, I do got one more. I again gave out that information. Let me give that information out one more time about the 2-year-old in Atlanta being denied a kidney operation. His father, who's a 100% match, and his blood is clean. He's not a drug addict or anything. And because the father allegedly violated probation, his parole officer violated him. The hospital, Emory University Hospital, is refusing to do the operation for this 2-year-old. Very tragic story. Very disgusting story. So often people die from lack of health care. But in this case, it's not a lack of health care. It's a refusal to render that health care, which I think is a violation of these doctors' Hippocratic oaths. Let me see if I can get to it. I'm on Facebook. I'm trying to pull up the telephone number. I want to give that out that Rona shared with us yesterday so that y'all can make the phone calls. Again, this is Emory Hospital, Emory University Hospital. Dang, Facebook is running real slow today. Let me see. 2-year-old. Okay, here's the information again. This is for Emory University Hospital. You want to contact Dr. Bryce Gartland. He serves as the Vice President of Operations for Emory University Hospital. He is responsible for the overall performance, planning, patient access, day-to-day staffing, and operations. You can call at 404-712-2000. That's 404-712-2000. And they're open 24 hours, but I'm sure he's not there 24 hours. So now's a good time to give him a call during regular business hours. Leave him a message if you can't speak to him and ask him why he is denying AJ, this 2-year-old AJ, a kidney donation to perform the operation. It's just ridiculous. All right. So the other story that I said I wanted to share was Tamron Hall. NBC, according to this article that was posted about 3 days ago on the Black Loop, it says that NBC is getting bad news after releasing TV anchor Tamron Hall for Megyn Kelly. Let me see. Where is the doggone article? Because I'm not seeing all of the article right now. Let me refresh this. And maybe, okay, now it's showing up. It says, it seems like karma has struck again. This was again posted on theblackloop.com, theblackloop.com. Well, it seems karma has struck again. The executives at NBC are allegedly sweating bullets and regretting their decision to replace former Today Show host Tamron Hall. The woman that they brought in to replace Hall has some huge shoes to fill, and she's not up for the job. Ex-Fox News woman Megyn Kelly isn't half the woman that Hall is, and the viewers know it. And I don't know about getting into that kind of pettiness and stuff like saying she's not half the woman. That kind of, you know, speaks to immaturity there. At one point, Tamron Hall was on top of the world. Not only did she serve as an anchor woman for shows like MSNBC Live and Dateline, but she was given the opportunity to join the Today Show by filling in early mornings during host Savannah Guthrie's maternity leave and hosting the 9 a.m. hour alongside Al Roker. Not only was she pleased, but allegedly NBC was pleased with her as well. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, she received an email that she was being replaced on the Today Show by former Fox News host Megyn Kelly. Not willing to settle for being on the sidelines, Hall decided to walk away from NBC and millions of dollars because she's a woman with integrity. Now it appears that Kelly isn't bringing in the ratings that NBC thought she would, as she is having trouble connecting with younger people and minorities. In addition, it appears that celebrities are not exactly willing to sit down with her either. Okay, so what did they think? Again, this woman is from Fox News. And she has a history. She is well known, has that name. And a lot of black people and young people do not get down with the people on Fox News. who engage in white supremacy, white nationalism, blow them whistles and all of that for the racist, for their fellow racists to pick up on. And but here is the thing, though. You can read the rest of that article again. It's at The Loop. It's titled, Oops, NBC Gets Bad News After Releasing TV Anchor Woman Tamron Hall for Megyn Kelly. Here's my thing. All right. You've already made millions of dollars. And I'm not talking just about Tamron Hall. I'm talking about Melissa Harris Perry and anybody else that has been sacked as either contributors to these corporate networks and what have you. You made a lot of money. It don't take that much money for you to launch your own television studios. You can build a studio. You can convert a building or a structure into a studio. You can buy the equipment that you need, and you become and run your own internet-based news service. Television network. We have people who have done that. Okay, again, as one of my newsletters I sent out was highlighting, and I talked about it on the program, that more and more people, especially quote-unquote so-called minorities, black and Hispanic people in the United States, more and more of them get their information or they consume media that's internet-based. So I'm like, I said this years ago, why does the National Association of Black Journalists always seem to be begging these corporations to hire black journalists? How about you get these black journalists to pool their resources and come up with their own independent outlets and cut out the bosses? Let them be their own bosses. Let them hire employees and what have you. I just have never seen any of them do that. And we're talking about some very popular people, man. Just think of a platform with Goldie Moore, Melissa Harris Perry, Tamron Hall. I don't know all these people names, but let's just say they launched a platform. I will watch to see what it's about. They will have my interest. Now, whether or not they could hold my interest based off of what they're reporting and how they're reporting it is another matter. But what I'm saying is I see an opportunity. I see this as an opportunity for people like Tamron Hall to take advantage of new media tools and launch their own platforms and compete with these other networks who actually are not trusted by most of the American public. They're just simply not. All right. So that's the last story that I wanted to share. Just some food for thought to those people who find themselves not being showcased anymore on these corporate platforms. Yeah, you were just basically a puppet. You were a sock puppet. And you read what the producers write and you're not giving it to us straight all the time. And we know that you won't talk about certain things because you're afraid of losing your jobs and what have you. So branch out on your own, especially if you've already made $1 million or more. I just don't see what's holding you back. All right. So that's my program for today. Tomorrow, I'll be back on air at 12 o'clock noon. If nothing happens, that's 12 p.m. Eastern time up until 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. But later on tonight, check out Tando Radio Show. I also saw that a couple of the other independent black digital stations on Black Talk Radio Network have some shows scheduled for tonight as well. All right. With that said, recognize the fact that we live behind the enemy lines of USA, Inc., it's a lot of slave catching going on out there, a lot of killing going on out there. And you have to move in such a way that you don't bring attention to yourself, that you don't give probable cause to the slave catchers. And hopefully you will not be as affected as some of us are. Okay. But sometimes there's nothing you can do, but just simply know your rights. Don't talk to the police if they want to accuse you of a crime. Let them get a conviction without your help and just ask for your attorney and say, I'm pleading the fifth. I ain't got nothing to say. Talk to my attorney. because they setting people up. They setting people up. And you don't want that to happen to you. It's happened to far too many people. All right. So with that said, y'all be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all.